For some of us that are older in this congregation, I think that it is readily recognized that there's been a change in preaching in congregations over the years. For you that are younger, you've only heard one type of preaching for the majority of your lives, and I understand that. And I'm not talking about the ability of the speaker. I'm not talking about the ability of the delivery, the oratory. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this afternoon, the content of the lessons that are being taught. And I think back to gospel meetings and the announcements in years past of the topics that would be presented. And I see something taking place much differently in many congregations today, that you can almost as a stamp tell what the topics are going to be before even they're announced anymore. And there's a reason for some of this. I've entitled the lesson this afternoon, Issues Preaching. If I say that to some of the older group here, I said, Issues Preaching, what do you think that is? Well, many of you would say, well, that's talking about teaching concerning, of course, liberalism, talking about teaching concerning authority of the Scriptures and so forth, it support of human institutions. Those are issues. But what I'm talking about is something that I believe that we need to never get away from in preaching. And preachers need to always go back to issues. And I'm not talking about support of human institutions only. That is an issue. And it's something that needs to be repeated. I understand. We're in a congregation. You've heard lessons. You've even had classes that I presented talking about the work of the church and so forth, and that needs to be repeated from time to time. And what happened in the 1950s, it's interesting. Whenever I really got serious into preaching and so forth, I felt as though I needed to really get a background somewhat in history. And so there was a brother, a fellow preacher that had every issue, the Gospel Guardian, and he said, he was getting old and he's going to retire. He says, do you want them? If not, I'm going to throw them away. I said, yes, I want them. And I read them. They started back in the 40s. They really started during the time, the ones that I got, started during the time of those institutional issues that came about. And that was the topic of almost every issue of the Gospel Guardian for year after year after year after year. I'm not saying that's not needed. It's still needed today because liberalism, and I'm not using that as a disparaging term against people. I'm using that as a mindset. Liberalism, which takes one away from looking for scriptural authority, the thing that we talked about this morning, what's wrong with it versus what's right with it. Liberalism, that needs to be taught about. We need to know how to give an answer, a defense of the truth concerning the work of the church and so forth. All that is needed. But it came to my mind in looking at that year after year and reading all those articles and so forth, have we forgotten about other issues that are out there? Have we forgotten about compassion? Have we forgotten about love? Have we forgotten about study of the Scripture? Have we forgotten about all these other things that are issues also? And it turns some people off, the continual presentation concerning institutionalism and so forth, and turn people off. And I've made the statement in my lessons before that negative preaching will do nothing more than at some point in time frustrate the hearers and make them wonder, why am I a Christian? There's never happiness. And all preaching that is just from a positive standpoint will lead a congregation then to vulnerability whenever there is problems that come in and they don't know then how to handle it because all they heard is love and fluff. And so I have, as I've stated in sermons before, I try to present balanced script preaching. It is about joy. It is about love. It is about peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, mercy. All those things we have been studying in our class in Galatians 5th chapter. Without leaving us vulnerable for if issues do arise. I was recently asked to listen to a gospel sermon online and for me to give the individual my thoughts on it. And it was a young man, and his topic was baptism. And the very first words in his presentation was this. It was apologetic, the way that he presented it. I want everybody to know, and they just need to know, I'm not an issues preacher. And that's the way that he started his lesson. And I got to thinking about that, and I think that that is a product of some preaching today that don't want to really get into any sort of issues whatsoever. And it's a dangerous place to be. I don't know how you could not be an issues preacher. You'll see that as we continue on. But there are issues about more things than just institutionalism that need to be considered. And when we think about it, and we think about issues preaching and issues preachers, Elijah certainly was. When we look back in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, verse 21, where he comes before an idolatrous Israel, is following after Ahab, who has appointed for himself 400 prophets that are prophets of Baal, not prophets of God, to say things that satisfy him and to follow after the idolatry that he wanted to be involved in. And this preacher from God comes before these people at this time, and he asks the question, how long do you halt between two opinions? If God is God, then follow him. If Baal's God, well, then follow him. And he brings up the issues. He addresses the issues at the time, the issue that needed to be addressed at the time in front of the people that had those issues among them and a king that was leading them in that direction. And I'll submit to you that Elijah was an issues preacher in what he did, because he addressed the issues. He didn't try to enter in through the back door to try to get the people on his side first. Listen, you know, I'm a good man, and listen to the presentation that I make. I love you all, and we're going to be talking about love and so forth. And then at some point in time, try to come back in and mention in some way that was homogenized and pasteurized the evils, sin of idolatry. He went to what was needed at the time. He was not the only one. John the Baptizer was. Wherever he being the forerunner of the Lord, he comes before the Jews. They come to his baptism as we see in Matthew the 3rd chapter. And as he is preaching there the things of the kingdom of God, the coming of the kingdom and the coming of the Christ, he says, O you generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And he brings up one of the issues also, and that was an issue that was there. They were a generation of vipers because they were looking at self. Don't say to yourselves that we have Abraham to our father, because God could, with these stones laying around here, raise up children under Abraham. Don't have that attitude. He is addressing an attitude that the Jews had at that time. It's really an attitude that we see today. It's an attitude of entitlement. Well, we're entitled because we have Abraham's blood in us. He addresses that. We see the same thing with Peter on the day of salvation, on the day of Pentecost, when he teaches about salvation. And there he brings up the issues that were prevalent, because just 50 days prior to that, Jesus had risen from the dead, and just 3 days prior to that, they had put him to death. And he brings up the issues concerning Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, and he brings those issues up. And he then presents with those issues their sin, but also their release, if they would but obey, their forgiveness. He was an issues preacher. He does it again when he stands at the council in Acts 15th chapter, when there were the Jews that were saying, Gentiles have to keep the old law in order to be saved. And Peter addresses that issue. That is not the case. He says, I went under the instruction of God and taught Cornelius and his household. I did that. And there was not one mention of the fact that I needed to proselyte them. And he brings that. He was an issues preacher. We see it with Stephen, where he confounded the Jews and taught them that finally led to his death, and he made accusation against them and put them really in, hopefully, in front of a mirror where they would look and see that they were the stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, and resisted God, the Holy Spirit, as their fathers had done because of their own will and their own desire. Paul certainly was. Well, I mentioned Philip in Acts 8, chapter verse 4 and 5, when he goes down to Samaria. Those who were hated by the Jews, he goes there and he issues preacher in connection with love. He doesn't talk to them, look, you're following after an old law that's mixed with idolatry. What is wrong with you? He doesn't do that. He presents the Christ. But it was the issue that they needed to hear. The same thing, of course, Paul was. He was an issues preacher. He walks into Athens and he preaches against idolatry. He does it in a kind way. He starts out with a compliment. Wherever he began that lesson, I perceive that you are very religious. But the God that you have, that is the unknown God, you're worshiping Him ignorantly. Let me tell you a little bit about Him. And then he makes that presentation. And then turning from the truth, as Paul addresses those that are wanting to go into the keeping of the Mosaic Law, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel. He could have taught any lesson on any subject at this point in time, but he addressed the issue that was present at that time. Same thing with issues among the members and even getting down into the individual situation. Where he writes to Philippi in Philippians the 4th chapter, verses 2 and 3, I implore Euodia and implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. He didn't want there to be division. He didn't want there to be ill feelings among members. He addressed that situation. He addressed the issue that was present there at that time. And he wasn't even a member of that congregation, but he had concern for souls. And then a myriad of issues, and I'm not going to go through Corinthians because I've already been warned. This cannot be a long sermon because all of y'all will fall asleep. You ate too much. But then over in, we see that John also, John the Apostle, he was an issues preacher. When we look over in 2 John 1, verses 2 John verse 9 through 11, that the doctrine of Christ has to be followed. You cannot follow anything else. And this is right on the heels of him writing, of course, 1 John, which dealt with Gnosticism. And then the same thing in dealing with Diotrephes, who had preeminence and placed upon himself control over the congregation. He addressed those issues. Timothy was instructed to be an issues preacher. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He was instructed to be just as Titus was instructed to be. In Titus 1st chapter and verse 5, in congregations, the issue that was there in those congregations in Crete was that there was no leadership. Appoint elders in every congregation. We see then he also addresses, beginning in Titus 2 verses 1 through 6, speak those things that are of sound doctrine, proper, those things that are proper and of sound doctrine. Teach it to the older women, teach it to the older men, to the young women. Teach it to all about the things that are right and upright. He was instructed by Paul to be, of course, a issues preacher. We see also where he talks about being subject to the laws of the land. It was an issue among these people at this time. Jesus was an issues preacher. I could go back to the very first of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew the 5th chapter, the issue that he brings up there. Don't think there's hopelessness. Blessed are you if. Blessed are you. He does not leave them without hope. But then he also talks about anger and name-calling when you go to Matthew the 5th chapter, verses 21 and following. He talks about lust and infidelity in verses 27 and following of Matthew 5. He talks about divorce and remarriage in 31 and 32 of chapter 5. He talks about truthfulness. If you say you're going to do something, do it. He talks about vengeance. It belongs to God, not to man. He talks about loving all. When you look over in Matthew 5, verse 43, love your neighbor and hate your enemy? No, he says that's not the way it is to be. Those were issues they needed to hear. Reason being, he was addressing a people that really were without mercy, especially the religious leaders of the day. They had no mercy whatsoever. And so he addresses them in particularly when we look over in Matthew 23, beginning in verse 1 and going on down through the majority of that chapter. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. Look at all the things that you're doing. You're a leader of the people. Yes, you sat in Moses' seat. I'm instructing the people, do whatever it is that you tell them to do, but don't do as you do. And he addresses those issues. He does so, and he does so rightly. He addresses the sin, he addresses foundational issues that, as a matter of fact, are still prevalent today. In John the 8th chapter and verse 24, I said, therefore you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, you will die in your sins. He addressed the issue of his deity. He also addressed the issue of the fact that those that would not believe in him were actually of their father the devil, because they rejected him. In his letters to Asia, he was an issues preacher. He left your first love to Ephesus. Wherever he wrote to those of Pergamum, I have this against you, that you have those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, thinking that there is reward and gain in serving the Lord, and talking about that which, of course, is outward and not that which is inward. To Thyatira, wherever he says to them, you are allowing sin in the congregation. Wherever you look over at Sardis, and he says to them, yes, you have my name, but I will tell you, you're dead. You're just wearing my name as a title. To Laodicea, when they didn't realize, he says, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were either hot or cold. And as you come down to verse 17, because of your attitude, which says, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He addresses those issues. Jesus was an issues preacher. When we come on down and we look, the Holy Spirit is an issues preacher. And I mean preacher by the presentation of the word. Think about, if I was going to ask, what is the one passage you could go to that would give the overview of what the gospel is about? It'd be this one right here. John 16th chapter, beginning then in verse 7. Jesus says to his apostles that would receive direct inspiration by the Holy Spirit. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, those are the issues that are covered within the Scripture. And you think about what it is that Jesus is saying, and he says, of sin because they do not believe on me. There was sin, and that's what put me on the cross. And there will always be those that have that sin that they do not believe concerning me. And then of righteousness, because I go to my Father, I've proven then that what I am and who I am and what I did was by the authority of God. And now I'm seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world was judged when he came forth from the grave on that third day, he showed that he had power over all, including even death. You convince, convict, rebuke, doesn't matter what version you're using, though people today through the gospel of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that's what the Holy Spirit gave instruction for. A preacher that doesn't preach about issues is not a preacher of the gospel. Rather, what he is something other than that. The gospel addresses issues. Think about what is stated when we look over in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verses 20 through 23. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And here we have the presentation of the issues of life when we look at the gospel. How is one saved? What is righteous living being taught by the gospel of Christ? What about sacrifice? That we offer up spiritual sacrifices before God, and that is determined by God. That we worship the way that God says to worship, and it's not that which is outward, and it's not for the filling of the belly. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 22. That it is spiritual. When we look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, these things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then as he said to them later on, later on in the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, talking about those issues that they needed to hear, that spirituality that they needed to be involved in. And then the authorized work. We see that presented in Ephesians 4th chapter, verse 16, where it is the edification of one another. when there is benevolence that needs to be involved, and also the support of preaching the gospel and that benevolence in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 9. When we look over, that's the issues of life. And they're all it's presented in the gospel, in the gospel of Christ Jesus. We need to be presenting that. When you stand in the pulpit, if you bring a lesson, it needs to be about issues. Those issues of life. But also, don't forget about the issues of death. And I know different versions have different things, but when we look at verse 20, our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs the escapes or the issues from death, as other versions says. That is, to make sure that we're in fellowship with God. That's not dirty preaching. That's the preaching that needs to be heard. That's the convincing and convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then of judgment itself concerning the issues from death, that we can take God's Word. And here we have lessons to come from the standpoint of authority of the Scriptures. And it fits in with what Jesus said. He who rejects me and does not receive my words, he has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We see over in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 10. And you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord will be revealed from heaven with mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and on them that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's issues that people need to hear about. If we don't mention those things, that both issues of life and issues of death, we leave people then without a complete message, without the gospel. We can't be just a one-trick pony in preaching the gospel. It needs to be the whole counsel of God. A preacher that will not preach on issues is an orator, a human-based counselor, an unworthy servant serving men and not the Lord. And this is what Paul says concerning that. He says in Galatians 1 and verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." See, selective preaching is withholding the issues of life and death. That's the reason that Paul had said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 27, "I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God, the positive and the negative." And it gets down to a time now that we're living in where issues need to be preached on. There would be those that are so happy that on a Sunday morning that we have so many present with us. You look at the number we had this morning. I know we had some that were visiting this morning. But usually it falls off, and that's a shame. It's not that way in every congregation. The difference between the attendance on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon or evening, and Wednesday. I've held meetings in congregations where it's exactly the same attendance. It's exactly the same attendance. It doesn't have to be that way. But I'll tell you, to withhold preaching concerning the issues of attendance is not preaching the whole counsel of God. That's part of what is presented in Hebrews 10, verse 25. Don't preach on giving for fear of less giving taking place. And so we're not going to teach about that because people may hold back more money than they're already holding back. No, it needs to be taught whenever the issue of giving is there. Don't preach on issues when there are issues. You think about that whenever Paul walks into a group of disciples. And I have no way to verify this, but there was some reason that Paul asked this question in Acts 19 and verse 2. He says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And I just have to believe that all of their conversation went back to what they had been taught. And what they had been taught was John's baptism, which was a look into the future of the coming of the Messiah. And that there were some words that they were used and statements that they were used in hope of His coming and so forth. That it was still in an expectant mode rather than having already been fulfilled. And he just asked that question, that issue, that have you received the Holy Spirit? We've never heard of there being any Holy Spirit. Under what were you baptized? Another question about the issue that was there. Well, under John's baptism. John in his time taught what was truth, but now it's not truth because the Messiah has come. And then they were baptized because of that. The times of the sort of preaching that is taking place, unfortunately, in many congregations today was actually foretold. And I think we see that when we look in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. Notice this, that last days, and last days perilous times will come. When men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We look at that listing there. He says, having a form of godliness, verse 5, but denying its power, and from such turn away. Here are those preachers that I believe that have a God syndrome about them. I use that God syndrome with a little g, where they want people to follow them rather than listening to the sermon that is based upon the issues that are needed, both from a positive and a negative standpoint, because it's a balanced gospel, and to say, whenever the preacher is done, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful gospel. And that is taking place today. And we see that it has to do with many lovers of themselves, lovers of money. We see that taking place in congregations. We also see what else Paul had to tell Timothy after he gave them the instruction, preach the word wherever people want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's the reason why. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers that will tickle the ears, and be turned away from the truth into fables. You see, if we don't present that balanced gospel, if we don't get down and explain Scripture, if we don't make application in today's world, if we just are storytellers, we're not preparing people. We're not preparing people for whenever troubling times come. We're not preparing people in the truth of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Let us not be desirous of the smoother, non-controversial preaching of the day. And that's what's taking place in many congregations. I want you to note just some passages with me. I know it's getting a little bit longer than what you wanted. Let me just say this about that. I'm just not through yet. And so we'll look first of all at Ezekiel 33:7-9. So you, O son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them from me. Let me just stop right there. The so-called watchers today that have put themselves and appointed themselves as watchers over the brotherhood is not what is being presented here. This is God talking to a man that was a prophet that was given the word of God to teach it. Those that will teach the gospel of Christ Jesus, those are watchmen, the true watchmen, in the same sense that Ezekiel was, not in a self-appointment today. And so he says to them this, therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. It's my word, it's my warning. He says, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. You are responsible because you did not teach the whole counsel of God. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. You think about that in the responsibility of preaching, and preaching issues of life and death. It's still the same today. And we have that same admonition as preachers of God's Word and teachers of God's Word. When we look over in Jeremiah 6, verse 27, I have set you as an assayer and a fortress among my people, that you may know and test their way, not by his own determination, not by his own opinion, but rather by the word that God would give to him as a herald, as a preacher of God. We look over in Ezekiel 2, verses 7 and 8. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. It doesn't matter. That's the in-season or out-of-season preaching. You preach the truth to them. We look in 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 10 with Jehoshaphat. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in the cities, whether of bloodshed or of offense against law or commandment, against statute or judgment, you shall warn them lest they trespass against the Lord and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this and you will not be guilty. Here he is putting judges in the different cities, but to stand by God's word in their judgment. We see in Jeremiah 1 and verse 17, therefore prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. Don't be held in men's view and be swayed by it. And that is what he is telling Jeremiah at this time. And then in chapter 26 and verse 2, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, speak to all the cities of Judah, and come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word, positive or negative. Don't do it. Don't do it. Preachers, and we have more than one in this congregation. Let me just put it very bluntly before you. Wherever you give an invitation, you're a preacher of God's word at that time. You're heralding His word. Preachers, preach the issues of life and death. Don't just be storytellers. Preach the issues of life and death. Make applications so that we can listen to that, so that we can make corrections in our life where we need to, and where we can rejoice then with one another in the things that we do in accordance with the Lord's will. Hearers. There's a responsibility of hearers in all of this. Receive the preaching of the issues of life and the issues of death, and be thankful for both. Be thankful for both, because then it prepares you for a home in heaven. There are a lot better preachers than me, and I recognize that. A lot better presentations, a lot smoother, a lot slicker. I understand that. I ask you to listen to God's word. When Jack stands up here, it's not about Jack. It's about the gospel of Christ Jesus. And I urge Jack, and I urge myself, to always present that balanced gospel. There are times when issues need to be addressed, and we address them, and we do so with all the authority of the Scriptures. Not self-authority, but the authority of the Scriptures. And the presentation, not to be mean-spirited, there was a lesson that I brought one time where members of this congregation, a couple of members of this congregation wrote me and said that it was an untoward lesson because they felt as though I was making fun of those that are liberal among us. I looked and listened to what they said. I made confession of wrong in that. I will tell you that it was never intended to be mean-spirited, but I could certainly see how it could have been taken that way. I ask forgiveness for that. Because what I want to do is present the whole counsel of God, both positive and negative, just as Paul said to enter into teaching and preaching and discussions in 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and following. Don't strive about words, but with love, help them to be pulled out of the snare of the devil so that they're not kept by it. Let our teaching be that way, and let this congregation be always appreciative of hearing the gospel of Christ Jesus. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.